The two readings today in the lectionary are from the Transfiguration. And if you go to Israel, they will take you to the Mount of the Transfiguration. I'm going to talk about that this morning. Peter in the epistle that we had said, we do not follow carefully devised myths. And then he went on to say, we were eyewitnesses of his, that's Jesus' majesty. You see, Peter, James and John were taken aside by Jesus and shared this quite remarkable experience right on the Mount. They were going to be the key people in the future of the church. They were going to be the ones that led this new organisation. And in a sense, God was giving them an insight into not only his glory, but Jesus' position. But equally, they were being equipped for future ministry. God gave them this remarkable confirmation, not only of who Jesus was, his relationship with God the Father, and his links with their past. That's the Jewish past. Moses, the great heroic figure who led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and Elijah, the outstanding prophet who was lifted up to heaven at the end of his life and, as it were, never saw death. It's quite remarkable the way that God did this with the disciples, or Jesus did this with the disciples, and we should expect that Jesus is going to do that with you and me, that he's going to equip us in order that we might be ready for our ministries in different places, whatever they are. And as a younger member, man in my 80s, I can say it's all of us that he equips. I was asked to go to a meeting, and I'm as an area dean, some of the meetings that you went to were an absolute waste of, I'm not allowed to say that, am I? But a total waste of time. Have you ever been to meetings like that? Where you had to go, and you had to go, and you had to be seen, and all it was a tick box exercise. And I went, and on that day, I lived in Staffordshire at the time, and I was rector in Staffordshire. And my car was in service. And you know what a pest it is? I had to catch a bus from where I lived on the outskirts of Tamworth into the centre of Tamworth. And then, of course, this jolly meeting had to be out in right on the other side of Tamworth in the new estates. So I had to catch another bus up. And when I got to the meeting, it was just what I thought it was going to be, a total waste. It was a very important meeting. You know, and I thought, grrr. And I'd come out of the meeting, you know, Mr. Books. I was Mr. Grumpy. And I came out, oh gosh, was I cross. And I stomped really to the bus stop. And it was the old fashioned bus stop, you know, just told you that the bus stopped there, didn't tell you which one or who or when. So I got to the bus stop, and there's a young fella standing there. And I went up and I said to him simply, does this bus go into the centre of Tamworth? Yes, he said, I'm going to sign on. So I said, oh, that's very interesting. My wife says that whenever I don't know what answer I shall give, I say, that's interesting, because it starts something else off. So I said, that's interesting. Yes, he said, my wife says I've got to sign on. So you know what to do what your wife says, don't you? So I said, oh, that's interesting. What did you do? Expected him to say that he was a carpenter. He said, I'm a singer in a rock band, which you can guess from my appearance, I'm not really Mr. Rock and Roll. So I said, what sort of rock band? So he said, oh, we're heavy metal, which meant a total world away from me. He said, oh, we had a number one. Didn't you know what a number? I knew what number, I guessed what a number one was. So I said, oh, did you? So he said, yes. And then he said, are you a real vicar? So I'm standing there in my dog collar. Well, because I was a rural dean, or area dean, as they call them these days, I knew that there was a vacancy in this place, and that the responsibility was mine. So of these set of estates. So I said, yes, why? He said, will you baptise my two girls? So I said, well, not here. So he says, no, no. So I said, well, I'll come and see your wife, come and visit you. Oh, my wife will be delighted. So I said, well, I'm not coming to see her, I'll come to see both of you. And then when I come to visit for baptism, I always come and I need to visit you three times because you've got to stand up in front of other people and give promises. Oh, she'll like that. She'll want you to come three times. So I said, I got a telephone number on the bus. The bus came into town and I went home. I phoned up and he said to me, yes, please, when can you come? So I fixed up the three dates. I got there on the first week. A few times in my ministry, I've arrived at a place and someone without anything to do with me is totally prepared. You almost walk in and you have to say, would you like to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? And they were at that point, or the wife was at that point. And I went in and she and he became Christians over the 3 week visits because I talked about, as you know, if you've been to a baptism, the old style promises used to be, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? With some other words around it as well. So I could cover the Godhead, and I spoke about God the Father. As soon as I spoke about God the Father, the loving one, the wife wanted to know more about it and virtually gave her life on the first week. When I'd spoken about God, the Redeemer and the offering forgiveness, and then when I spoke about the Holy Spirit guiding, directing, he gave his life to Christ. And I thought, I've only gone to a bus stop. And you suddenly realise that God has his hand upon our lives if we've committed it. And I remembered that morning I prayed, as I try and pray most mornings, please, Lord, take me to, if you want to use me today, take me to the right person at the right place at the right time and give me the right words to say. Can I commend that to you when you get up in the morning, that you pray the four rites? Because we're not saying we've got to do it. I didn't do it, did I? I didn't put him on the bus stop. Rob stood on that bus stop, and incidentally, he did have a number one. And a few years later, when he joined our church and the wife became a Pathfinder leader, he said to me, would you like to come and hear us at the NEC? And I'll tell you in another time, if whoever asks me back, what happened on the way to the NEC. But it was packed, absolutely slam-bang packed, with people shouting and screaming. And who was they screaming at? It was Rob down the front, this little guy. And he said to me afterwards, did you notice, Keith? Did you notice? So I said, did I notice? I couldn't hear a thing for days afterwards. And then the noise was colossal and everyone shouting and jumping around us. He said, I told the boys, the vicar's in today, you mustn't swear. So he didn't swear. So I have one achievement. I've stopped a rock band, and they were a heavy metal rock band. And they were a satanic heavy metal rock band. And not only was he converted, this is Rob's lead singer, but so for a church, one of the drummer, who was actually the writer of all their songs, actually went to a church in Cornwall and became a Christian himself. And their whole band changed from being satanic to being accused of being a Christian rock band. And in fact, he said to me, Keith, do you know someone came up to me the other day and asked and accused me of being a Christian rock band? And we're a proper rock and roll band. And I said, hallelujah. So God does equip, and God does open opportunities. And these disciples who God called to go and see this, 6 days later, 6 days previously, have been standing at Caesarea Philippi. And if you've been to the Holy Land, and it's been your privilege as it has been mine, when they take you to Caesarea Philippi, you stand and you look across at the big rock wall. And in that rock wall, in the middle of it, almost probably about 20 feet from the ground, there's the water actually comes out of the rock. And there's a place around where the water comes out where they've worshipped the living water for years. And this is where Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I bet he pointed at the rock over there and said, you're going to be the rock on which the church is going to be built. And of course the word, he was Simon beforehand, and the word Peter means rock, doesn't it? So Peter here was equipped. So God was steadily equipping them. Peter knew at this time he'd been challenged for the future. And a little bit after that, if you look in Matthew's Gospel, it says, each one of you have to take up your cross and follow me. And I was given by a friend of mine a little wooden cross, you know, the little wooden crosses. He said, if you take that around, it will look after me. It doesn't look after me. I leave it on the shelf at home because it's God who looks after me, not a piece of wood. But when we look at a piece of wood like that, it's a tremendous reminder that Jesus is calling you and me not just to be something small, but to something enormous. And a cross was where you died in great pain and you gave your life. And Jesus was saying to Peter at this stage, please, you have to give up your life and follow me. You see, God had chosen them and he equipped them. He equipped them solidly with these different things in order that they should be ready to lead the church in the future. These three remarkable men. And yet God calls you and me, and we're not remarkable, are we? We're just ordinary. And God calls you and me, ordinary people, to be his place. And he puts us exactly at the right place, where our skills and abilities are able to be used for him. You and I probably will never ever get our names in any history book. We will never ever be maybe remembered as an outstanding X or Y. God doesn't call us to be that. He calls us to be ordinary but committed to him, and wants us to be at the right place at the right time, speaking to the right people. And he will give us the right words to use. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Heavenly Father, you remarkably equipped these three, James, John, and Peter, in order to be the leaders of the church. And as we read the Acts of the Apostles, we see how wonderfully you fulfilled that call to them. Lord, you call each one of us to be your people. Some of us are younger, some of us are older. But you still call us. We've all got a thing to do. And we pray, we dare to pray this week, that sometime this week, you will use each one of us by putting us at the right place, at the right time, to speak to the right person that you've chosen. And then we can trust you to give us the right words to say. So please use us this week, we beg. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.